talking about the church grown up and prayed up and linked up. And this morning we're going to talk about the church fired up. You've probably heard that there's a football game on tonight. Some of you don't care, and that's okay. And some of you, I won't ask if anybody's wearing colors. Was that as close as you could get to? It's the only green shirt you had, right? So, and Paul Cushman's back there. And anyway, he's got, he's sporting some stuff underneath his shirt. I've already tried to cast that out. But anyway, took authority. Oh, yeah, look at him there. Okay, all right, all right. Paul's from Massachusetts. Whatever, what else can he do? It's a Yankee. Well, you know, you're in the South, brother. But anyway, so there is a little ball game tonight. We talk about players and fans being fired up for the game. You know, they're in there bashing their helmets against. Well, some of them, there's a couple of them not even using a helmet. They're just bashing their heads in there and pounding on shoulder pads and all that stuff, getting fired up for the game. When we talk about somebody being fired up, we mean that they're excited, enthusiastic, passionate. You know, adrenaline's pumping. I don't know if any of you are like painting your faces to sit on your couch tonight or not. But anyway, they're ready to play the game. We're talking about an emotional response. But when it comes to the church being fired up, I'm talking about more than adrenaline or emotional excitement. Emotion and excitement can only carry someone so far. It can only motivate us so far, so long. The rush of adrenaline doesn't last forever. So if we're going to be fired up as a church, then we need a stronger, better, deeper kind of fire. We need a fire that'll transform us and continue to burn in us if we're going to be the church that God's calling us to be. We need the fire of God's presence in our hearts and in our lives. Fire is one of the symbols that's used in the Bible for the Holy Spirit. So to be a fired up church, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit's presence, the presence of God, to purge and cleanse us, to empower and energize us, to transform us. And so to understand a little bit of what a fired up church looks like, I want to go back to the beginning this morning. Let me point out a couple of things about what it means to be a fired up church. And I looking over the crowd this morning, I saw Pastor Beth Ellis and his lovely wife here this morning. And so, Pastor, this is one of those sermons that this is not a great sermon, all right? But this is a word that I felt like was supposed to be shared this morning. So come back. I'll preach a good sermon someday. But anyway, so Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The church is made up of the followers of Christ, called out from the world, redeemed and saved, set apart by His grace, transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit inside us on a daily basis. We're being renewed and transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday we talked about the church being linked together as the body of Christ. We're growing up into Christ, who's the head of the church. We're to be a victorious church. So Jesus says, not even the gates of hell, not even the base or the focus of authority of hell can prevail against the church. We're to be a conquering group. That sounds like a pretty fired up team of believers right there, if not even the gates of hell can prevail against us. So Jesus said He would build His church, and then He also said that He would empower and equip His church. He gave gifts to His church. He's given faith to His church. And He would give empowerment to His church to accomplish His purposes on earth. Just before He ascended into heaven, this is what He told His followers. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So something important was going to happen. He tells them, stay there in Jerusalem until you have this experience. You may recall at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, John, baptize you with water for repentance, but after me is coming one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He's referring to Jesus. And He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this gift of the Holy Spirit baptism, meant spiritual empowerment for the church. The Holy Spirit is the means to a fired up church as we live and move in the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in fire. And Jesus spoke of this as power. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. So all of this is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, power to live and to do and to be what He calls us to be. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses then in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Those are regions of around Jerusalem. Actually, that's the West Bank now, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus intended the church to be a fired up church, ready to take the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. He anticipated that the church would live an overcoming, empowered life every day of their lives, full of the Holy Spirit and being everything He'd called us to be. So what John predicted would happen concerning Jesus and baptizing with the Holy Spirit, all that comes true. It all happens on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Luke, that writes the book of Acts, tells us, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the speaking in tongues was just kind of an immediate physical consequence of this experience of Spirit baptism. So let me say real quick, the point of this sermon this morning is not to doctrinally talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking in other tongues or whatever. I want to make this as general and broad as I can this morning. That what I'm asking for and the response that I would expect would be that everybody here, regardless of where you fall on all this, what I'm asking for is that you would say, I want the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. I'm open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. I want the fire of His presence to burn in my life and to make the difference. That's all I'm asking for this morning. I'll let Jesus and the Holy Spirit work out the rest of it. So the church on the day of Pentecost becomes a Spirit-filled church, a church that's fired up by the indwelling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to get the picture of the church and the change that occurred as a result of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So immediately after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, on the first day, so on the day of the resurrection, we see the disciples, what's left of them, and they're hiding behind locked doors. John's Gospel, chapter 20, says, on the evening of that first day of the week, so that's Sunday, that's the day of the resurrection, when the disciples together, and look at that, it says, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. They watched Him die. The tomb's empty. They're trying to figure out what's going on. But notice where they were. They're in an upper room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Here's the church, what there is of it, hiding behind locked doors in fear. There's just a handful of them. Judas hanged himself, so we're down to 11. Thomas isn't there that night. So there's 10 of them at least. We don't know if some of the women that followed Jesus were present at that time or not. By Acts chapter 1, we know on the day of Pentecost, there were about 120 people that were gathering every day, constantly waiting in prayer for this gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. But they were still hiding. They were still frightened of both the Roman authorities and the Jewish leadership that had conspired together to put Jesus to death. So I wouldn't exactly call them a fired up group. They're hiding in an upper room, like an attic somewhere, with the doors locked and the blinds down and hoping nobody's going to hear them in there. They're just trying to stay secreted because they're afraid there's going to be a knock at the door and somebody's going to arrest all them and there's going to be trouble. Not exactly what I would call a fired up group, would you? They're intimidated, they're anxious, frightened, maybe a little timid, reluctant, but I wouldn't call them fired up. But then, in a moment, everything changed. The equipping, empowering, transforming presence of the Holy Spirit changed this timid, anxious group of believers hiding in an upper room into a bold, brave, resurrection-testifying, Word of God-obeying, miracle-working, Jesus-proclaiming, world-changing church. Nothing would ever be the same. So that in a short amount of time, somebody would say of this bunch that had been hiding up there in that upper room, the men that have turned the world upside down have come to our city and our region as well. In one moment, they went from a frightened flock of sheep into this empowered, bold church testifying of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, Jesus promised power to His church. Not power to conquer political kingdoms. It was power to live like Christ and to live for Christ in the midst of a dark world. It was power to preach the gospel when to do so might even mean death. It was power to stand against the forces and schemes of hell. It was power to speak in the name of Jesus when they were ordered to be silent. It was power to announce the breaking in of heaven's kingdom upon the kingdom of this world with signs and wonders. It was power to speak truth to the very seat of power in Rome, to speak truth to emperors and kings and rulers of this world. It was power to do, and it was power to be. And Jesus said this power would be a consequence of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And then as a result of that, we would be His witnesses. It was not just power, not just to do something. It was power to be something. It was power to be like Jesus. It was power to be a witness for Christ. This, friends, was a fired up church. And what I'm telling you this morning is that we need the fire of God's presence and power to burn in the church again. We need the Holy Spirit to fire us up, because whether you know it or not, the only hope for the lost and dying world is Jesus today. It's the only hope. He's the only thing that can turn us around. It's the only thing that can save this world. And I'm going to tell you this, the world doesn't know it, but the world needs a fired up church. The world needs a fired up church. Are you willing, all I'm asking this morning, are you willing to open your heart to the Holy Spirit and say, fire me up, stir up something in me, and let me be part of that church. Let me make a difference in the world. We've been saying this all along that you're who you've been waiting on, right? What I've been preaching, telling you that you know, we're all part of a church. We say, I just wish our church prayed more. Well, that means you need to start praying more. I wish we saw more people getting saved at our church. Then you need to start telling more people about Jesus and getting more people saved. I wish our church shouted amen sometime. Well, then you need to start shouting amen. I wish our church had more in the choir. Well, you ought to change. You ought to start singing in the choir. Whatever it is you think the church ought to be, you're supposed to be that. Right? That's the only way it's going to happen. And if you think the church needs more fire, you need to pray, God, set me on fire. Set me ablaze with your power and your presence at work in my life. That's what we've got to do. Lord, fire us up. Set us ablaze with your glory and with your presence. What were they fired up about? They were fired up about Jesus. They were fired up about telling others about him. Young people, teenagers right here, I want to challenge you to get fired up about Jesus. I don't know what's firing you up right now. I don't know what it is. And I got to tell you, if you're just settling for being fired up over video games or, you know, whatever, bless your heart. Good for you and stuff. But there's more to life than that. I'll even just warn you, there's more to life. Guys, there's more to life than just girls. And girls, you already know there's more to life than just boys, because they're not going to get it right. They haven't got it right in 6,000 years. They're not going to get it right now. But Jesus is going to get it right. And I challenge you to begin to say, Lord, I want to know what it is to truly, truly be sold out to Jesus. I want to know what it is to truly be set on fire with Jesus. I know this will stun you to know that I was once a teenager, and I can even remember some stuff from my teenage years all the way back there. I remember thinking, I wonder what would happen if I was truly sold out to Jesus. 100%. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what kind of things I could be involved in life if I was truly surrendered and sold out to Jesus. I thought of it this morning. I went back and found my worn out copy of this book called The Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. My brother gave me this book. I was probably about 16 when he gave me this book. And he wrote inside it, quoted from Jim Elliot, "He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He said, "With brotherly love, I join you in the clutches of the cross." He read this and said, "I think you ought to read this." I read this book, and I'm not, you can get a copy somewhere and read it, but it wasn't just this. But I read this about a guy who gave his life. He went as a missionary to Ecuador and was killed by a native tribe there, didn't know what he was coming to do, stabbed him to death. I read this story, and I remember I read these words. Jim Elliot prayed, "God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for you. Consume my life, because it belongs, it's thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." I remember reading those words as a teenager and thinking, so real people prayed those kind of prayers, not just people in the Bible. And you really could live that kind of life, a fired up life. You really could fall in love with Jesus so much so that you were willing to say, Lord, let me die for you. Let me live for you, or let me die for you. But God, I give myself for you. And it challenged me to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. This guy was fired up about Jesus. And I'm telling you, regardless of what you've come out of or who your parents are or where you lived or where you went to school or whatever else, and for young and for old alike, if you'll just go after Jesus, if you'll accept that challenge and ask the Holy Spirit to light a fire inside of you, there's no telling what God can accomplish in and through your life. This church in the book of Acts got fired up about living for Jesus and telling others about Him. It was the number one thing on their heart. It's what they woke up with every morning, thinking, thank God, I know Jesus and I can make a difference in this world. And Jesus said He would give them power and anointing to be His witnesses. So on the day of Pentecost, fired up and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and began to do exactly what Jesus said he would do. He began to witness and testify about Jesus. To that same group of people that they'd been hiding from 50 days before, Peter gets up, looks them in the eye and says, "Men and ladies of Jerusalem and Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, was in fact the Messiah and the Son of God. And God raised Him from the dead. And we know it. We saw these things. And He's alive. And we saw Him ascend into heaven. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He rules and reigns in power." Peter said, "Let all of Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." There was nothing timid about Peter or about his sermon that day. And the crowd heard it, and instead of going after it to tear him apart, they said, "Brothers, what do we need to do?" And Peter said, "Repent and believe upon Jesus and be baptized." And 3,000 people were born into the kingdom of God that day. That's our calling and our mission as well. We're called and empowered to tell the world about Jesus. Jesus' instruction to us was to go and make disciples, and that still applies to the church of 2018. It applies to Carbondale Assembly of God today. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so the church could be fired up and empowered to tell the world that Jesus still saves and still heals and still delivers and changes lives and changes circumstances. That's what Pentecostal empowerment is all about. It's not just about speaking in tongues. It's the power to be His witness. Everything is about proclaiming Jesus. We need to get fired up so we can tell the world about Jesus. I challenge you to ask God to send His fire into your heart and into your life. Notice on the day of Pentecost, Luke tells us they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And Jesus said they would receive power to be witnesses starting in Jerusalem, and they would carry that message to the ends of the earth. And from the very beginning, people from all these nations, it was like the world in a microcosm, had come to Jerusalem that day for the Feast of Pentecost, and they heard the gospel. It was a sign of what was to come, that the gospel would be preached to the whole world. And notice too that Peter quotes from the prophet Joel. And Peter says, this is what Joel says, "In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Prophesy just means they were speak forth the telling or the proclaiming of the word of God. So it looks to me like a fired up church should be or would be diverse. It would be multi-generational, young and old. It would be multicultural. It would be men and women, young and old, leading and ministering and serving and prophesying and proclaiming. A fired up church filled with His Spirit means a church with a fresh, Spirit-empowered vision. Young men seeing visions, that's teenage on up, beholding by the Holy Spirit God's plan and purpose and calling for a church. God's desire to take the gospel further and to go beyond where anyone has taken it before. You know, the church has changed. The way we do church has changed. And I'm an old guy. I remember, like I said, I remember being young once And we thought, boy, you know, if those old people, if they just let us do it the way we're supposed to do it, and that's what we've been doing all these years. And now there's a whole new generation that came along, and they're saying, well, this is how we want to do church now. And then I turn into some of the grumpy people going, no, I don't think we like that. There's always supposed to be a next generation. As long as Jesus tarries, there's going to be a new generation. There'll be new methods. There'll be new places. There'll be new methods of outreach. They'll probably do it in some ways that I wouldn't necessarily approve of. That's okay. God's given them a vision. You that are on these first 10 rows right here, God give you vision for what the church is supposed to be. God give you vision for what can happen if you're fired up and giving yourself to Jesus. A vision to reach and stretch toward a God-ordained destiny. The old men dream dreams, not dreaming of the past and how it used to be and, oh, I wish for the good old days. Old men dream dreams of what can still be, of what's still out there. Dreaming dreams of what could be. Dreaming dreams about, oh God, if you'd give me a little more time, maybe I could be a part and enjoy part of that. I want to be part of a fired up church like that. I want to be part of a church on a mission, a church with a vision that's still dreaming a dream. Even though this church is about 80 years old since it started, I love it that it's still got a young vision. I love that we've got young men and young women that are called into ministry, that are in training even now. I love that we've got old and young alike serving in the ministries of this church. We've got young people on Team Carbondale shaking hands this morning, and we've got some older folk. I like that it's a multi-generational place. I love that we've got young people in the church that have invested in the future of this church by giving to the Rise and Build campaign. And we've got 90 plus year old seniors that are saying, I may not even live to see it all done, but I want to sow into the future of this church. Do we have any visionaries out there this morning? And do we have any dreamers out there this morning? We need to get fired up and build together because we're His church. And the only way we're going to be able to have influence is if we've got visionaries and dreamers working together to become everything God wants us to be. Somebody ought to say amen to that this morning. Now I'll tell you, I don't know what all God has in store for us. And at this stage of my life, I'm not sure if I'm young or old, so I'm confused. I don't know if I'm supposed to be having visions or dreams, just as long as it's not hallucinations. Let's just say I'm somewhere between the two. I've had some visions. I remember praying one time in the sanctuary down there. I'm anxious to get back and find my new prayer spot in there. I remember having a vision. I stood there. It was so real. I can't even explain to you how real it was that suddenly surrounding the walls of the sanctuary, there were angels standing in there. They were dressed like they were going to battle. And they surrounded. They were standing. They had their heads down, their hands folded. But I knew they were ready. They were aware of everything that was going on. I literally, in watching this, and I haven't talked about this in a long, long time. There was somebody back there that we were going to pray for, and I thought, I wonder, because I had this sense of like, Lord, what are you showing me? And it was like, we're waiting for you to move. We're just waiting for you to move. And I started to walk. I stepped out, and when I did, they closed ranks behind me. And I walked over to a person that was over here in this part, and when I began to pray for them, it was like angels surrounded them. And I walked to the back. I know everybody that was there at prayer meeting thought, what in the world's going on with Phil? He's just wandering around. I walked to the back of the sanctuary like I was going to go outside. And it was like the walls kind of moved back and I could see outside. It looked like a war zone. There were bodies laying. I mean, it was an apocalyptic kind of scene. I'm not predicting that for Tulsa or whatever. But simply that the angels were saying, you take us out there, we'll go. Where you're ready to go, we'll go into battle with you. We're going to fight this together. This is who we are. I walked back in and we began to pray again. Now, I've had some visions. I remember early on, I was first pastor. I had a vision once of standing in the pulpit, and it was like the Word of God literally became a sword in my hand, and there were people chained to the pillars of the church. And as I spoke the Word of God, it was like the sword touched the shackles that had them chained, and it broke off of them. I've seen some things along the journey, and I've seen the vision come to pass as people's lives were delivered and set free, and we've been able to stay here a long time. But you know what? I've had some dreams too about what God has still wants to do. I've still got a dream of this church becoming more and accomplishing more in the next few years and reaching more people with the gospel and calling more people to a walk of victory and holiness than ever before. We're not done. And the truth is, as Al Pacino said, I'm just getting started, okay? We're just getting started on this, all right? We're not done with this yet. There's more. If Jesus tarries and the truth be known, who knows what God's gonna do? Yes, we need to reach more. We need to do more. I'm praying, God, fire us up so we can be everything you need this church to be. We need to see more people come to Jesus. We need more nationalities represented here. We need more ethnic diversity here. There's still barriers that need to break. There's still breakthroughs yet to come that God has ordained for this church, and we'll yet see it happen. And I don't mean to sound like Dr. King this morning. I may not get there with you, but I've got a dream that long after I'm gone from the scene, people will still be finding Jesus at 2135 West 51st Street. I've got a dream that this church will be stronger at its 100th anniversary than it is at its 80th or its 85th, that we'll still be sending people to the ends of the earth to tell others about Jesus, that we'll still be reaching out to the hurting and the broken in our community. We'll still be caring about the least and the last. We'll still be speaking up for those who don't have a voice. We'll still be crying out for justice for those that don't find justice in the courts. We'll still be showing mercy to the broken and lost. I've got a dream of a fired up church long after the fire inside of me has gone out and I've gone from the stage. What I'm telling you is, let's get fired up to be the church He's called us to be and to win our world. Let's get fired up about living for Jesus. Somebody say amen to that today. The church in the book of Acts was fired up to pray those bold prayers we've been talking about. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to the temple at the time of the afternoon sacrifice and prayer, and they encounter a beggar. He's been crippled from birth. The man asked Peter and John for money, and Luke says, Peter said, look at us. I fix your attention on us, and he may have just been saying, look at us, does it look like we've got silver and gold? Are we dressed? I'm a fisherman from Galilee. Does it look like I've got any money for you? Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. What did Peter have to give? He had a fired up faith that believed that in the name of Jesus, all things are possible to those that believe. Peter believed prayer didn't just belong inside a church, but anywhere the church goes, that's where prayer is going to go. Prayer in the marketplace. Prayer belongs outside. Prayer belongs at Walmart. Prayer belongs anywhere the church is going where we can agree together. A fired up church needs to be relying on Jesus as the Savior and the healer and the miracle worker. And folks, nothing has changed. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peter prayed a bold prayer in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and we need a church that's still praying bold prayers, still believing for God to do what only God can do. The God of the Bible is the God of 2018. God, help us to trust and pray and believe and to be bold in our faith. And the church in Acts was fired up to take a stand for Jesus, regardless of the cost. So in response to this miracle of healing, as the crippled beggar is healed, Peter and John are arrested and thrown in jail. The next day they're brought before the Sanhedrin. That's the ruling body of the Jews. It's the same group that a few months before had handed Jesus over to Pilate and demanded His crucifixion. And remember, this is the same group that the disciples were afraid of and had been hiding from at the beginning. So when the Sanhedrin demand to know by what power or by what name this crippled man had been healed, Peter said, know this, you and all the people of Israel. In other words, I'm not hiding this from anybody, so you can tell anybody you want to know. It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He's the stone you builders rejected. He's become the chief stone, the cornerstone, the capstone. And then he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. A fired up church is willing to take a stand regardless of threats, regardless of possible consequence. The Sanhedrin ordered them not to preach in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, you guys will have to just judge for yourselves whether that's the right or wrong thing to do. But I'm going to tell you, we can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. When you get fired up and when Jesus makes a difference in your life, you just can't shut up about the good things God's done, right? You just can't hold it in. Jeremiah the prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I just got to tell somebody. Did I tell you? I'm not a grandparent, but apparently that's a big deal because people walk up to you. They used to pull their wallet out and say, "Oh, I've shown you my grandchildren," and now they pull their phone out and they've got 15,000 pictures of their grandchild, and here's my dog, and here's our cat, and have you seen this? And they're scrolling through there, and God bless you, and I'm happy for you. But you know what? Jesus has done something for me that I just need to tell you about. I don't have pictures about it, but I can sure tell you the story of what He did for me. I don't need my phone to tell you. Just sit out with me and let me tell you what Jesus has done. It's something inside. And Peter says, we can't help but talking about what we've seen and heard. I can't help but talking about what I've seen and heard. They went back to church, told them what the authorities had said. They said they warned us. They said if we keep preaching in this name, they're going to arrest us, they'll beat us, they'll kill us, whatever. And then they prayed this prayer, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. Threats and intimidation, but a fired up church says, doesn't matter, we're going to speak the truth regardless. A fired up, spirit-empowered church is going to testify about Jesus. A fired up church is on a mission to take the good news to everyone, everywhere, and we're not going to let anything or anybody stop us. And I don't know what's ahead for the church in America. There's not a doubt in my mind that the day will come someday when pastors and churches will be charged with hate crimes or hate speech for preaching the gospel or preaching against certain sin or whatever. And believers will have to decide where they're going to stand or what kind of church they're going to be a part of. But our prayer needs to be like that that fired up the church in Acts. Lord, help us to speak the word of God with boldness and to continue to believe your word. I'm not worried about winning a political fight or battle. I'm just concerned about remaining true to Jesus and His Word. God help us. So God's calling us to be His church. And there's an invitation to come and to receive that fire and that anointing. There's an offer of power and greater purpose for His church. And I believe there's a season we're entering and there's an outpouring that's coming. It's offered. And if we'll get hungry, and if we'll cry out to Him, and if we'll trust Him and obey, and if we'll reach out to Him, and if we'll put Jesus and His calling and His kingdom and the lost ahead of ourselves and our comfort, I think we'll see the kinds of things that they saw in the book of Acts. There'll still be miracles and signs and wonders. There's a change coming. And to the generation coming after us, I don't know what the culture's going to look like, but I'll say today there's no limit to what God can do in and through you as you accept the reins of leadership. If you'll stay true to God and stay fired up, determined to live for Him and be that fired up church. God needs a fired up church. And Paul wrote to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline," or a sound mind, fired up by the power and presence of God. He says to fan into flame the gift of God. Some of you are saying, "Well, you don't understand. You know, it's been a long time, and I'm 90 years old, and whatever." You know what? That flame hasn't gone out, has it? If it has, he says, stir it up. You ever sat by a fireplace or a campfire somewhere, and the coals? You think, "Well, I don't even think those are burning anymore, are they?" Yeah. You stick your hand in there, grab one of those, will you, and see if that's still hot. Yeah, you'll only do that one time, right? All you need to do is kind of bend down and stir it with a stick or blow on it, and all of a sudden that little white and the embers fly, and all of a sudden there's a red-orange glow that comes off of that, and you realize, oh, you know what? You can fan that back into a flame. Some of you, this may be time for you to fan something back into a flame in your life. Well, for what purpose? Because there's still a world that needs to know Jesus. Because your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren still need to know about Jesus. Because there's people in your middle school and your high school that don't know Jesus, that are waiting to find out. And it's only going to happen because a youth group's fired up and ready to tell people about Jesus. It works that way at every age, at every stage, at every season, at every level. We need to be on fire for Jesus. A fired up church accomplishing all that He's called us to do. I want you to stand this morning, and Bryce, if you'll come back. I asked him if we could sing that little chorus, "Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me." Timothy, Paul said, stir up that gift. fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Ask the Lord to empower you today with a fresh boldness. Ask the Lord to give you a fresh fire in your soul. Ask Him, Lord, fire me up to live for Jesus. Put some fire in me to serve God. I tell you what, I'm not going to start that old thing because that always wears me out about it. You're more passionate about the Patriots and the Eagles than you are about Jesus. Well, you know, I'll be just, anyway. Because I can get pretty passionate about Jesus. So I'm not judging it on that. I'm not judging anything about how loud anybody shouts or anything else. It's more about how you live. And if you live with a fire burning inside you. I've been around people that they just got something. There's a spark inside them. It always points to something. They're always fired up. Let Jesus be the fire that burns in your heart. I'm asking you this morning to fan that into flame. I'm asking if there'd be one person under the age of 18 that would just say, I want to be ablaze with a passion for God. If there's one or two out of that bunch that says, I want to change the world because of my devotion to Jesus, who knows what will happen. If there's one or two between 20 and 25 that'll say, I want to be that passionate about living for Jesus. God, do whatever you want to do in me. If there's one person out there in their 30s or 40s that says, God, I got it this morning. Fire me up. Pour it on me, Lord. Pour your Spirit out on me. Let me be a flame with passion for God. Restore it. If there's one 70-year-old or 80-year-old out there that says, I hear it again. It's that call of God. Stir it up in me. I remember Charity Harris, I've told you this a dozen times, standing at the back of the sanctuary back there, almost 90 years old then, and I see tears fill his eyes. He's talking about islands somewhere in a river in Africa. And he says with tears in his eyes, I wish I had another lifetime to give to tell those people about Jesus. I want that. My God, help me to be Charity Harris at 90, still saying like Caleb did in the Old Testament, give me a mountain. Put some giants on it and put the sword back in my hand. And if I have to climb that mountain on a walker, get me up there. Just pick the sword up and see if I can at least smash him on the foot. Give me one more giant, one more mountain. Come on. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? A little bit of fire, man, it can catch fire like brush fire and it'll raise. It can do something in a church. God, fuel us up. And put that fire in us. If you'd like the fire of God to burn in you, if you need to stir something back into a flame, if God's speaking to you this morning, I want you to just come out. Y'all sing that song, would you? Anointing, follow me. I want you just to come and stand here. We're going to pray together. Or you can get over there and lay on your face if you want to. But I want us to pray this morning. Come on. Regardless of age, doesn't matter, young, old, whatever. You're saying, I get it. I just need that fire stirred up in me again. The fire kind of went out, and I'm stirring something up today. I'm stirring something up today. I want God to stir something or pour something out on me. I want that fire in me again. Come on. 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 Somebody else, you're responding to that. That fire's not done yet. God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Somebody needs to see it in your life. Your children need to see that fire in you. If you want your teenagers to be fired up, mom and dad, you better get fired up. If you want your kids fired up, you better be fired up. Oh, let's seek Him this morning. Call on Him this morning. Ask Him. Ask Him to pour His Spirit out upon you today. Just begin to cry out to Him. Oh, God, anoint us this morning. Anoint us this morning, Lord. Pour Your Spirit out upon us today. Oh, God, Your calling upon us. Your passion to burn in us. Your fire in us, oh, God. You're not done with us yet. You're not finished with us. You're just getting started. You're just getting started with us, Lord. So come pour Your Spirit on us. Oh, God, I'll be that one. I'll be that one, Lord, that accepts that challenge. I'll be that one, Lord. Come stir something in me, God. Pour Your Spirit out upon us, Lord. Oh, God, let us be all You've called us to be. Let us be all You've called us to be. Oh, God, change the culture of this church, Lord. Change the culture of this church so a fire burns in us like never before. God, stir us so that fire burns hot in us, Lord. that we have a desire as never before to serve Jesus and to live for you, Lord. Oh, what we've known before, Lord, exceed that. We need more. We need more. We need more. We need more, Lord, of you and more of your anointing and more of your power and more of your blessing and more of your grace, more of your favor. Oh, God, send us more today, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of you, Lord. More of you. We're just getting started, Lord. More of you. Oh, God, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be upon us today. Oh, God, grant it to us today. Grant it to us today, Lord. Let that fire burn in us. Let a fire burn in us. Let a fire burn in us today. Let a fire burn in us today. Let a fire burn in us today. Let fire burn in us, Lord. The fire of the Holy Ghost to burn in us. To do something in us, Lord, beyond anything we've known before. The call of God upon our lives, Lord. And we'll say yes to you. We'll say yes to your call. We'll say yes to your plan and yes to your purpose, Lord. We'll say yes to you, Lord. We'll say yes to you, to your call, your plan for us. We'll say yes to your anointing, Lord. Yes to the gifts that you put within us to be used for your glory. We say yes to you and to your call, your plan, and your purpose. Yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you today, Lord. Stir it. We fan it into a flame this morning, Lord. We're not so busy but what you can use us, Lord. We say yes to you, yes to you, yes to you. Yes to that fire to burn in us. Oh, Lord, we say yes to you today. Yes to you today. Yes to you today, Lord. Let that fire burn in us today, Lord. We say yes to you. Yes to your call. Yes to your plan. Yes to your timing. Yes to your purpose for us. Yes to you, Lord Jesus. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you today, Lord. Your mission, your purpose for us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We seek after you today, Lord Jesus. And what you have for us, you come and make the difference in us and through us and for us. Oh, God, you've used us in powerful ways, Lord. You're not done. You're not done. You're not done, Lord. It may be different than we expected. Oh, but Lord, in ways the end's greater than the beginning, Lord. Oh, God, grant your favor, your anointing, your blessing, Lord. Purge and cleanse, Lord. Mend and restore, Lord, and then you're going to hand something back to us. Oh, let it be, Lord, let it be. We stir up the gift of God in them today, Lord. We stir it up. We stir it up in Jesus' name. Oh, we stir it up in Jesus' name. God, you're getting us ready for something. I don't know what, and I don't know what it looks like. And I don't care. I don't care. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost that burned away the bindings. Ooh. He will burn away the bindings in your life and set you free in the Holy Spirit. So claim it and do it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, that's pretty simple and pretty plain to us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember what we read at the beginning of the service? Ask, seek, and knock. And he said, if you ask the Father, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit right there is saying to us, look, if we'll ask him, he'll burn off the shackles. The three Hebrew children walking around there, and the King Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought we threw three guys in there bound up, and now I see four men walking around unbound, walking around in there. We assume that was a pre-incarnate Jesus that shows up in the fire, but they're walking around unbound. They came out of there. The only thing burned off of them was the shackles that had kept them bound. Folks, the Holy Spirit says if we'll call on Him today, He'll set us free from the shackles that have kept us bound. Let's claim that today. Father, in Jesus' name, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, You spoke to us today that the Holy Spirit of God would burn the shackles off of us. Everybody that's living in bondage today, we claim freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. We claim freedom, Lord. I claim freedom in my mind and my spirit, Lord. Freedom over addiction. Freedom over depression and anxiety. Freedom over sickness and disease, Lord. Whatever's kept me bound, whatever's made us timid or reluctant to do what you've called us to do, burn those shackles off of us and let us step out in boldness. Let us be bold to speak your word. Let us be bold to pray. Let us be bold to act. Let us be bold to do. Let us be bold to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let's be bold to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, Lord, I believe that you'll confirm your word that we testify with signs and wonders. And people will come to you, Lord. Let it be. God, I pray you raise up a group of visionary young men and women in this church that'll see what God wants to do and will show them the path and the calling and the place where they fit in the body of Christ, and they'll step in and do that job. God, I pray you'll keep giving dreams to old men like me to believe and to mentor and to speak it to others. This is what can happen when the church is fired up and goes after God. Let us dream it, Lord, and share the dream with others. God, knit us together as the body of Christ, old and young, men and women, black and white, American or whatever nationality that comes. Knit us together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be everything you've called us to be. Because I believe the best days of Carbondale Assembly of God are ahead of us. I believe, Lord, you'll do something extraordinary. I believe for an outpouring of your Spirit, for anointing upon your church, and for fire to break out among us today. Fire to break out in this church and in this community. Let it be in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the anointing of your Spirit today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen.